whatever happens in healthcare, we've got to get a whole lot more done on a whole lot less resource. That challenge is facing us, and we can't get around that. The Cumberland Initiative has been pushing for a long time to use simulation and modeling as a way of rationalizing the flows of patients and staff and moving to a much more predictive way of delivering care. The Festival of Evidence was set up to be able to provide some of the evidence to support that, to bring together people from a very wide variety of backgrounds. This isn't going to be solved by a group of people either in an ivory tower or indeed a group of people in a ward just sorting it out on their own. This requires very, very sophisticated analysis. That's what the Festival of Evidence has been able to deliver. Here are some of the highlights.
Trying to change healthcare. Calvin and Hobbes, I thrive on change. You threw a fit this morning because your mom put less jelly on your toast than yesterday. I thrive on making other people change. Okay.
People have been modeling and simulating healthcare systems for decades. One of the challenges that we face is that simulation and modeling has still to make a significant impact in the way in which we design and develop our care systems. And so we asked Professor Mike Carter from the University of Toronto to share something of his experiences over the last 30 years or so in simulation and modeling.
I built models to figure out how many cardiac surgeons Canada needs for the next 20 years, right? And I'm trying to do more things in oncology and cancer. And the way people think right now in healthcare is they are sitting there saying, well, how many do we need next year? But it takes 10 years to train them, right? And so very little work is being done on kind of future forecasting. Getting people to accept the idea that we can do kind of longer range, 6 months to a year, planning tools is difficult. Anything that I do with a champion. I'm working with somebody, so I'm working with somebody who already believes that I can solve their problem, and I'm kind of searching those people out and looking for them. So we work together to try to convince people. But I think that I kind of look for, what is this model going to do for you as an individual, Mr. Doctor, Mr. Nurse, Ms. Nurse, the administrator, etc. How is this going to make your life better? Initially, they don't trust the model, they don't appreciate the model, the results don't agree with what they're doing, and then suddenly it will be a sort of a moment when they will go, I see, you know, it is different, I understand what you're doing, and then from then on, there's an element of trust.
Hospitals are obviously a place where a lot of care comes together, and although they don't represent the greatest amount of care, they are a place where the concentration is such it's easier to focus and conceptualize on what's happening. Steve Alder is somebody who started life as a neurologist and is now on the fast track chief executive course for running NHS trusts. Is passionate about trying to work out how flow methods, industrial engineering, how you can engineer pathways in a new way.
In my own department, we have kind of seven streams of work. And in five of those streams where we kind of really looked at it in depth, we actually created like a 50% improvement. You know, so for the stroke patients, to begin with, 22% of them could get onto the stroke unit. At the end, 85% could. In terms of getting to the rehabilitation unit at the start, it was 10%. At the end, it was 25%. Then in outpatients, when we started, people waiting about 2 years, by middle of 2010, we only had 15 patients waiting more than 5 weeks, which was pretty cool. Getting engagement with the people who deliver the care wasn't that difficult. But getting engagement with the existing people in the management structure, that was hard. Now, the managers who were close to it, again, that was easier. But as you went higher and higher up the management chain, in truth, it's at the point where it's impossible, if I'm honest. At the moment, those people can't find a way to manage the top-down pressure they experience with what the bottom-up analysis is crying out for them to do.
Clearly, one of the themes that the Festival of Evidence has been orbiting around, if you like, has been the idea of process change, radical process change. And one of the nice things about some of the US systems is that they can work at scale and introduce change. So the VA in the States is a really interesting organization. People may walk in anywhere between Washington and Honolulu, and they expect the same sort of treatment wherever they are. So one of the challenges is to create a way of delivering that care. And Len Goldschmidt from the Veterans described how in one particular area of service delivery, ophthalmic services, they've gone about using telehealth at varying levels in order to deliver this uniform level of care. This is an important contribution to the Festival of Evidence because it's an example of culture change introduced with technology change, and added to that is the importance of a unified clinical record, which allows the veterans to provide this seamless service.
The premise of much of telehealth is the idea that by the time you end up in the emergency room or in a grave medical condition, that event was days, weeks, or even months in prediction. These devices are now present in a number of homes with 100,000 people participating in this program. They have reduced hospitalization rates significantly for a variety of chronic diseases, for certain mental health diagnoses, as much as 25% from before they were introduced. They've also decreased the time that patients spend in the hospital by approximately 25%, leading to an improved quality of life for many patients who can now spend more time at home, less time both in clinic offices as well as hospitals.
One of the nice things about American hospital systems is that they have been very focused on the numbers for a long time, and so they've been doing work around the process. And we're really privileged to have Daryl Corr come across from the Mayo Clinic. The importance of his talk is that he's looking at a hospital-based system, and he's looking at the ways in which they've tried to implement system-level change.
So what we had hoped to do back home was to optimize our transfusion practice. We had seen through multiple publications, as well as our own experience with our own data, that we were transfusing patients much more liberally than the evidence would suggest. And by using sort of advanced analytic techniques and utilizing data in a more meaningful way and presenting that data to the end users at the time when they need it, we were able to substantially improve our transfusion practice. And by the time we had sort of finished up the pilot work in the CV surgery program in 2012, it was apparent that we'd saved quite a substantial amount of money. And as important, or truthfully more importantly, patients were doing as well, if not better, than they had been doing with more liberal transfusion practices. What my experience has told me is that it has to be a very close interaction between the informaticists who are on the information and data side, and the users of that data, because the users understand their workflows, they understand their data needs, and by having that close interaction, we can pare out a lot of the unnecessary, redundant, excessive volume of data that's not being used clinically, and we can focus and target our efforts specifically on those data elements that are most relevant to those that are providing care at the bedside.
The Cumberland Initiative is a set of communities of industrial and commercial people, of clinical and healthcare management people, and of academics. And one of the things that I really wanted to see when we ran the Festival of Evidence was that each community should be represented. And Claire Cordeau is an example of a commercial modeler. She's a director of a company that delivers simulation and modeling. And what I was really interested in was getting the practical examples from her perspective. I think one of the challenges in this area is that a lot of the on-the-ground modeling never makes it to journals and is written up as a publication in that way. And people who are actually doing the modeling in companies often have a very broad experience, which is not always explored. So this is Claire Cordeau from Simulate, giving some examples from her experience.
One of the shocking things about hepatitis C is only 2% of the population are diagnosed. And of course, if you're not diagnosed, that means that you go on to develop liver disease, cancer, and you probably die early. We set up a model to enable people to experiment with their current state, how many people they were currently diagnosing, against the number of people that there actually are in the area with hepatitis C, and to experiment with understanding the impact on their resources and their costs if they diagnosed and treated more. And what we found was actually the more patients that you diagnosed, the less the costs, because although you had to pay for them being treated, because you were not paying for their costs later on, then the overall benefit was a reduced cost overall. And also, the more patients you diagnosed and treated, the cost per patient treated reduced. So we've run that now in about 10 different clinical commissioning groups to enable people to understand how that might work in their system. And also, when you're doing a simulation, it usually helps you understand how the current system is working. So that learning of itself usually helps people to develop improvements which they might not otherwise have thought of.
The Festival of Evidence has set out to try and draw as many different strands of sort of pursuing modelling and simulation together as we possibly can. And that means putting people on the same program and indeed in the same session who wouldn't normally find themselves even in the same track or the same conferences in other contexts. So it's really nice that we've got Carol Jagger speaking from an epidemiological point of view. And Carol is particularly interested in the burden of disability, and she's interested in knowing how disability emerges. And her work's particularly important because it's models of disability in the future that will inform the provision of services for different types of impairment and loss of function.
The MODEM project will model the costs and consequences of interventions for dementia. And it's a project run by the London School of Economics. And I'll be looking in particular at the impact of different diseases on disability, but in a new model so that I'll be able to incorporate specifically the effects of dementia and look at how other conditions alongside dementia will produce the numbers required for certain interventions. We'll be incorporating socio-demographic variables like retirement. I wanted the model to be not just focused on dementia, but to be able to reflect some of these other changes that are taking place, because my previous model informed government reviews on ageing, and I want this one too as well.
Looking back over the week, I think for me the most telling messages have been around how evidence is used rather than the nature of the evidence itself. There's lots of evidence that if you plan and think about things in a rational way, you do better than if you use your intuition and your experience to try and make the best guess. For us, there's been a lot of focus on champions within the system who have a real problem. There has been a lot of emphasis on the need for a crisis very often to force people to think about other ways of doing things. It may sound a little bit cynical, but the phrase was used, don't waste a good crisis. Simon Stevens, who runs NHS England, has recently released a report calling for significant savings over the next 5 years and outlining the way in which the quest for those savings coupled to higher quality will be achieved. And the use of operational research is embedded in that report, and we find that very encouraging. And I think that gives us a very clear mandate as we seek to go forward together.